everyone. Welcome back to Design Hat Podcast. The journey so far has been really fascinating, discovering about 10 lives who have had their struggles and victories as a designer. Today, we unfold the 11th life journey of Jyotsna Malhotra, who is a user experience designer with 12 plus years of experience designing for both B2C and B2B domains. She loves to explore art for self-expression and is currently working as a lead experience designer at Verizon. Hi, Jyotsna, how are you?
Hi, Siddhi. Thanks for inviting me. I'm doing good.
I would like to start with a very basic question. That is, could you introduce yourself to the audience with a story of why you chose design?
Sure. So while I introduce this, I go back to a teenage version of myself. And I remember when I was growing up, I was crazy about art. I am still. And that's something that was my happy place. And that's also a time where you are trying to decide what career to take. And if I recollect, I think 1996, I saw, that's when I was in school. And yeah. I saw a show on DD which introduced graphic design. I did not know anything. I was in school. But it was also meant for teenagers. And that show, I could really connect with it. And I learned first time about design through that show. And I will say thanks, Didi, for, doing some stuff, because design was there, art was there, but the awareness wasn't there. Now we have more awareness. We have more colleges about it. And so that was my start. And that show really helped me decide, this is it, what I want to do. I post that I chose my school subjects accordingly, so I can prepare for art. And so my journey actually started with art. I went to College of Art Delhi. I studied Bachelor in Fine Arts. And in pursuit of learning more, I went to National Institute of Design. I studied design. So if you ask me design specifically, it happened more in NID, I will say. And after NID, it's been a journey going on trying to take a professional projects.
That's really interesting. I would want to know that you've done your bachelor's in fine arts, as you said, and it's been a long time doing that. So what is the change that you experienced from then to now?
So Bachelor in Fine Arts taught me a core about translating my ideas into creative presentation modes. For example, I learned about skills, whether it's sketching, whether it's composition, whether it's layout, typography. I learned the skills, I learned the tools, both digital and physical. When I was in College of Art, I had done handmade posters and advertisements. Those was the era. And, we were learning on learning the Adobe Creative Suite as well. So we did a mix. But also, basically built these skills around tools and the core concepts. And after College of Art, when I went to NID, I think that's where my I mostly learned about design process. I learned how to design for a user or a customer and not based on my assumptions. So I think design process was the key. To where I am currently, right? This is something that I'm practicing every day to see how what you create, how does it help somebody achieve a goal, whether it's a business goal or it's a social goal or the purpose.
That's interesting. I would want to know that, how about the technology? Like you said, the technology, you learned both digital and other tools. So what were the some digital tools you learned back then?
Okay, so my journey started by going to Arena Multimedia to learn Adobe Photoshop and illustration, and no offense to the institute, but I did not learn anything there. being a very visual person, I was very disappointed by the color of squares and triangles taken to teach us. And yeah. I wonder why are there such bad colors, and you know how we can make it more presentable, or what should be. So I was thinking about designing the class instead. So I actually learned from my peers, you know, my fellow classmates, and mostly hands-on. And I see now it's a very different year. I don't think any tool I have learned, it's all now we go to YouTube, there are different tools. Now we are in an era where there's Figma, there's Sketch. Now it's collaborative design tools, right? It's not just about design tools. It's how do we even do, in COVID, it's how do we even do workshops online? How do we brainstorm online? So this journey is primarily, I will say, exploration and hands-on. That's the key. The more you practice, the more you learn. And yes, follow people, refer to the masters, learn the best methods to do that, right? Best practices.
That's a really interesting point you pointed out there, that exploration is the key, because design is all about that. And as you said, that refer to the masters. So is there any idol person in design that you follow?
Yes, it's mostly about books, but being more honest, lately I've started following women in design more, and I've seen women leaders as well. And it's also when it's something specific to tools, right? In design, there are different areas, whether it's research, what you're referring for, like Don Norman talks about, they even publish a lot of research, and whether it's tool, even Adobe or Figma, or you know, they have these circles, and if you follow them, they're good things to learn. And mostly I think for me it's blogs. That's a great medium, or even on UX Collective and others, I think they were great.
That's nice. I think Jyotsna, 12 years is a lot of are pretty long years. So with such a long period of experience, would you like to summarize how has it been till now?
Well, I will say it's been a journey. I would like to feel young and say I'm in the journey, because obviously, like when you're saying it's long, you're referring to my 12 years. And from my side, I'm referring to people who have more, like my seniors as well, right? Who have more 20, 25, 30 years. And so it's a journey. And if I look into these 12 years, I guess during this journey, I played different roles as a design, from design perspective. I started my career in edutech. I was very passionate about field designing for kids. You know, along with that, I was doing, contributing in an individual capacity. I think a lot of us designers, when we start, we like to do hands-on. We are creative people. We like to create. And we contribute in individual capacity and even in a team capacity. And over the years, when I look back and, you know, I can say it's mostly about growing. And now I am also looking at design enablement. How do we enable young designers, or enable teams, or how do we create paths that enable, you know, as a, from a design org perspective, and even create a culture for fostering design. That's something I see this is a journey, and I'm still in the journey. I'm still learning to the tools that I talked about, right? Even on the skills, even on the trends, we need to keep ourselves updated, and I'm still learning. And I'm glad to be. For me, learning is the key.
That is nice. And I think I love your idea about how you want the culture of design to be there and how you want to foster it. That's really inspiring. Yeah,
that is the key, Siddhi. And and it's also culture. And if you see, culture is a very important part of our society. Let me say family. It's everywhere, right? I am putting it in the context of design. But even college, right? They are institutions. They are cultures that teach you. Why is culture important? And so is organizational cultures. The intent of the culture is for enablement from a learning perspective, from a growth mindset perspective. And I think this journey of mine have made me more conscious. I wasn't so aware when I started off, but now I am consciously working on it.
That's nice. That's a nice way to put it on. I want to know that you mentioned about how you got to know about the design process in NID. So since then to now, is there any particular magical design process you follow, or does it depend on projects to projects?
So I think I follow something very core and something basic, and I don't think it has changed. This is something we all do. It's also all the masters suggest and what even design school suggests. Starting with the purpose, right? What's the purpose? Answering the whys. What's the purpose of any design activity that you're doing? That will answer a lot of things. It will give us a goal. And after understanding the purpose, whether it's for for an enterprise, or whether it's in a service domain, or even for your own personal brand, right? What's the purpose? That purpose will lead to the process, how we can achieve this thing, achieve that purpose, and what is the different aspects of the design process that is needed. Very honestly, while in colleges we do learn the entire design process, not every time in the professional world you get an opportunity. But what is important is that process to be fluid as per the project needs. What under the specific process methodology that is needed to be adopted for that particular project. And in the same, as you follow the process, or when you define what is needed in the process for that particular project, what is also needed is constant checkpoints with the stakeholders and the customers or the users. I'm using the word checkpoints because design is not based on assumption. It needs to be validated. We need to check what are ideas or proposals, how is it really meeting the need? What is the impact that you're expecting? And these checkpoints ensure we are on track. So if I summarize, it starts with the purpose. This is part of a design process also, but it's more about making it fluid, making it meet the needs of a project, which can be 2 day, which can be a week, which can be 2 months or 6 months, So accordingly, make the process fluid and have the regular checkpoints with the stakeholders and customers. I think that's the key. That's how I look at it.
That is nice. I think I've never heard about the checkpoints thing, but now that I realize it, I think it's really important to keep a checkpoint and to actually communicate effectively with your stakeholders.
Yes, I think you brought in an interesting point, communicating effectively throughout the process. Very important, right? And I think my enlightenment came, if I may say, when I moved from BFA to NID. And like first year of my college, so I was in the art mindset. Why do you do art? Or why do you, it's about, even if you see the advertising world or the commercial art stuff. So it's more idea generation. Obviously, right. You will have data pointers and, predictions about what kind of idea or proposal will work. But there's instigated by intuition, if I may say. And that was my turning point. It took me 6 months to move from what I think to what the user think, right? But this transition is something that, what design can do for a customer. That is important.
I think you mentioned how NID has been an important part of your life. So would you like to differentiate in your own words, between how you see art and how you differentiate that with design? Because a lot of times, whenever people hear about design, they're correlating it with art. But if we have to differentiate it, what would you want?
So I'll go a little philosophical. So sure. Arts obviously have different areas: fine arts, performing arts, and let's just pick fine arts here, right? In fine arts, there is sculpture, painting, and there's applied arts, which is also called the commercial art. Now, going back to history and even seeing what's the purpose of art. Art is about expression. It's a reflection of different thoughts and a lot of societal aspects, right? That's how we have fresco paintings, we have sculptures, and they talk about history. Now, when we have applied arts, or if I may say the commercial art, there's things happen. There is design. I think there's surely design because you're giving a purpose beyond self-expression. Where events comes in, where advertising comes in, and lots more. I am not a pro in that domain. I will not say much. But they surely have a very rapid process to, you know, get. I think that industry works like that to get the designs out, and it's a lot of visual communication. Branding is also there. Now, I study new media design, and I'm currently a user experience design. So, at least from my perspective, design starts with a problem. It can even start from an innovation, but the idea is to achieve a goal and less about self-expression. So that's how I will differentiate it. There can be different philosophies, but this is something, this analogy works with me. So,
that is pretty interesting, actually. I would know, want to know that how, you know, 12 years, I'm focusing too much on this because it's a lot for me, for a noob like me. So I would want to know that how do you keep yourself fresh with the required skills? Updated with the required skills. Do you have some timeline, or how often do you update yourself, or is it a daily process?
So I will just say, like, I've just learned, I have realized that change is the only constant. Right. And I accept it and I live by this. So what does it mean? It does mean we have to adapt to change. We have to constantly upgrade. And it's not about daily and all. If I think what's important here is a growth mindset and a bent towards learning new things. So there is, and if you have that, you are fresh with ideas, you will be looking out what is the current trend, what is the new tools, right? If you don't adapt, the industry will move ahead, right? For example, if there were times when user interface used to happen on Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator, there were those times, right. I have seen those times. There was Balsamiq, there was Xure, but now we do have different tools, right? So we have to adapt with the tools. We also have to adapt with the way we present, the way we showcase, adapt to different changing times, like how we have adapted to COVID and conducting virtual workshops and so many other things. So if we just accept change and we build a growth mindset and a learning mindset, I think that works. I don't think it is about time, about daily or weekly. It is, I think it's every time when you are doing something, when you're interacting with your peers, you're learning from everybody. When you're reading something, you're learning about something. But I would like to point out that also staying in touch with younger group, like for example with your alma mater, going back to the institutes, connecting with a lot of students, that also helps even see what's happening. So yeah.
Would you like to elaborate on how the how staying connected with your younger group helps you?
So, for example, for NID Bangalore, I will go as a visiting jury member in the juries, and that's where it's an exchange of inputs. That's how I look at it. While I learn, I share what I have learned. I don't look into evaluation. I see it as an exchange. From College of Arts, I've tried to be the visiting faculty. I have visited the MFA department. So these some checkpoints, whenever possible, I'm trying to, and they do help you stay connected with fresh ideas as well.
That is nice, yeah. I think you've mentioned a very good point here that you can learn from anyone, and there's no age to learn from only elder people or only the younger group. It's everywhere, the learning.
Absolutely. And I think somewhere it's now, it's reversed. The elder one needs to learn from the younger ones also. So I have my 4-year-old and I do learn a lot, you know, from her as well.
That's cute. Wow. Right. Now, I want to know that since this very starting, you've got the opportunity to work with big brands like Hindustan Times and Adobe. So what is that one common factor which all the big brands look for while hiring interns or employees as designers?
So you're correct, Susidhi. I've had a chance to work big brands, but I just want to also point out that I've also worked with startups and mid-sized companies as well. So my career graph is a mix. Hindustan Times was my first internship. I loved it. And I learned, I learned information architecture there about how a user will read a news, what's a visual hierarchy. You know, I primarily learned there. And so is Adobe. So from my perspective, learning happens everywhere. Smaller size companies like startups or mid-sized companies, they give more flexibility and an opportunity for more explorations. However, in a large size company or global brands, if I may say, while the role gets more specific, but they are institutions. That's how I will look back. An institute where there are multiple opportunities, and it's like, how do you leverage those opportunities? Where there are smart colleagues around, and there is learning happening from different colleagues also. It's while learning happens from design methods, learning can also happen from simple ways of working. So that's how I look at it. So I do surely look at them from institutions where there's so much happening and complex systems that you're trying to solve when you learn. Now, your second question about how do they hire interns, right, or freshers. So I think all companies primarily look at passion, right? How passionate you are about the job that you're applying for. I will rephrase it. How passionate you are about the work that you do. Because it's not always that you immediately know, but it is how you do. That is very important. How do you do the design that you do, or how do you cater to the needs of the customer? What is the process you follow? It's a passion that lets you go and achieve that extra mile. So that's something everyone does. Of course, skill is there. The portfolio is also looked about. What is the fitment from the range of products, the interviewer is looking for, right? So those are different, but I will top up with saying passion. And there's passion, there's effective communication, surely, because as a designer, when you're working, how are you able to translate your ideas? You've surely translated it into design, but can you even be an advocate of the design and even present and pitch it, whether it's internal company stakeholders or external? So communication is equally important there. And domain knowledge, yeah.
That's a very nice point, I think, because we have underestimated passion and we are running towards things that everyone is doing, and we're forgetting our passions. But if we actually follow our passion, I think we'll be able to even earn and even live a happy life.
Yes, and that's how I started my journey. I wanted to make passion my career. But it is, honestly, it's passion that really helps you go deep dive also, because you're curious You want to learn, you want to do. It's not just a job or a to-do list that one is finishing. Especially in design, which is not quantitative, it is qualitative, where the quality of the design will create an impact, right? It's easy to finish a design or an experience or a marker, but what is the quality of that experience? And it is a passion towards design, knowing your customer, that will make you follow the process and think deeply about how one is looking into it. That's a first step. That's a first thing, yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm remembering so many things about passion. And as you said, that passion helps you to, deep dive into the subject. It also helps you to stay sustained in that field. Because working towards one thing that you're passionate for is only possible when you're passionate for it. I want to know the next thing, that how does your work differ from when you started off to now leading design initiatives at Verizon?
That's an interesting question. So so when I started off, like I mentioned earlier, I was contributing in an individual capacity. I was working with different team members. I was working with seniors, which gave me a great opportunity to understand some tricks of the trade as well, right? It also gave me direction about how to scale up in a particular situation and how to, even from design project perspective, how do we cater to a one-day project versus a six-month project, and, building a hands-on experience. And throughout that journey, I learned about tools. I built up my knowledge about user experience design. And even working with team, understanding the importance of team, and mostly learning that delivering a product is not one person's achievement. It is the achievement of the entire team. So that is, the team is very important. In my current stage where I am leading at Verizon, as a designer, and looking at different initiatives, I think the role is a lot about enablement, a lot about to reflect on my learnings about if I face those challenges, how do I enable my team to sail through the same. And the role is also about taking some initiatives, building the right culture, and even looking from a futuristic perspective, right? So now it is less hands-on, but it is more about design directions and and entire planning. What does it need to or what kind of capabilities are needed to go towards the journey that we want to go, and even building the journey. So and this is interesting, right? So it's not always that we deliver through the way the design is also pitched, it is showcased and it's presented. Those are critical things as well.
Yeah, those are some nice point outs. I would like to know that, what are those five learnings from your 12-year vast experience you would like to share with us?
All right. So I guess my first learning will be stay confident, stay positive, and self-believe. That is the starting point of any journey. And this is a journey that takes you far, whether you're applying in a prestigious institute, whether you're applying in a global company, right? So you have to believe in yourself and go for it. So confidence is the first. I think that's how I look at it. And it's confidence that enable you to face different challenges as well. I will say the second, if I have to say, the second thing is about being organized. Organize your career in terms of goals. Those goals from a 5-year to 2-year to 1 year to 6 months to 3 months to a month and week and daily goals. what is it that you, if you have a goal for a career goal for 3 years, how do you plan those 3 years into very small daily activities that will help you achieve? So being organized helps, right? So it's not that we are moving in a direction, we are planning where we want to go as well. I will say the third one is being open to learning and upgrading yourself. Like we discussed about, change is the only constant. So we have to surely do that. And I also believe in a philosophy of feed forward, which means that we have to take feedback and move forward. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. So each journey has ups and downs. There's no journey with just the upward, curve there. Each journey will have highs and lows. And it is about how in what spirit we take them. And the feed forward helps us think about moving forward, not about moving backward. So this is something that I've picked up from Marshall Goodsman. He's a coach for leading CEOs. But this philosophy really works. And something that I've also learned from my current managers also about focusing on strengths. See, most of us, many times when we do, we focus on our opportunities or areas where we are yet to grow. But it is strengths which come very naturally to you. So the amount of effort you put in your strengths and the output will be much more. So while opportunities you have to work on, but it's not that the focus has to move only on opportunities. It has to continue on one strength. And along with opportunities, and that's why I said feed forward. You take with what you go ahead, but you also know and work on where you have to work. And I think I completed fourth. And I'll say last one is have fun and be passionate about what you do. I think that's how I will just summarize it.
Those were some really nice five suggestions. I was kind of expecting something related to design. But you've summed it up for all of us, and it's something that is needed in every field, which is actually
I don't think the success mantra changes in just from design to
any other field,
right? It remains the same. You need the same determination, same perseverance, and all those things, right? Working with a team. Your values and the relationships you built, they are the same, right? And that's why I talked about self-belief right in the beginning. We all may have different skills, but it is a self-belief. And secondly, what I mentioned about being organized, the constant is working hard, right? If you have a goal, you will work hard. At least you know what direction to go. Right. So having a positive frame of mind, believing, and one can surely achieve it. There's nothing. So I will not say it's like do this and be on design. I think it's about more hygiene aspects about how one goes into any career.
I think you focused on 2-3 points, which we have covered. But one of them that we've left is self-belief. And I think you really seem to be, believing in that. So I would want to know that what was that one point of time that where you did not have self-belief or where your self-belief was not enough, and how did you tackle it?
I will give you two points, right? I think when I started, now this is again, I'm going back when from moving from school to college. I was determined from early on that this I want to get into art and design, and I did not apply to any other college apart from College of Art Delhi at that time. So my parents were like panicked, and I remember my mother enrolling me to one of the polytechnics as well, where it was easy enrollment. And I remember after filling the form and I hope your money gets wasted. So, and because we all knew that it's not easy to get admissions, so I think there was surely self-belief for me to take a decision. I don't want to put efforts into filling random university forms. If I'm not interested, I'll rather focus on preparing for the admission where I really want to go. So that was some self-belief. And I think another thing, now I also want to talk here as a woman, because, as a woman, you have different phases in life. Of course, men also have. But it's motherhood that does change the dynamics about where you need to prioritize, and you know, about the time you can dedicate different things. So that's a big turning point. It's also about accepting that the way you were doing things, it's, you know, it's like a new birth. You're about how you do that. And I remember joining back. I was very fortunate. My maternity phase happened in Adobe, where there were great policies, great colleagues. But you surely need self-belief and and a big goal about you that you will be able to manage all and get back to what you love to do. Right? So that's a place where there's a lot of emotions flowing in within you. And you are surely challenging the society norms by looking for a support system for your small child and getting back to what you do. It was self-belief that I will be fine, my child will be fine, we are all fine, and not to hear to people who will discourage you, right? So you have to stay focused there.
That is very heart-touching, because a lot of face that difficulty, and I think
that's really
important, the self-belief.
That's really important. And I don't believe in gender roles. I do believe in the modern day world we are about respecting each other as individuals. But yes, if we go into facts and all, when women in any career, the downfall happens post motherhood. Right, about and somehow childcare does come on women, but that's a time to believe in yourself, look for solutions. That's why I also mentioned of being more organized, about how you get back to and what it needs to do what you want to do. It's different from everybody, it's not the same, but you need a belief in yourself that yes, it's going to be a challenging ride, but you have to be on the ride.
That's an interesting point. I would like to end up with one special question. That is, what would be that one advice you would like to give to all the budding designers? Listen to you.
I will share the best advice I have got. Be insanely positive. there are many times when we are low, we don't know what direction to do. So happy times, we are all good, right? That's right. Self-belief is there and things are going good. But there are times when yes, we need somebody to guide us. We don't know what to do, right? And especially in creative domains where everyone is not coming from a background or where families and people understand these domains or how to pursue, right? And even there are a lot of challenges. Like I work in an IT firm where design is also minority team. They're bigger tech companies, and each company is also have different challenges. In a lot of companies, design is surely respected. It is valued, and a lot of dev teams also are getting user centric. They also understand what the values are, but there are challenging times. But it is being insanely positive, and it is at that time that you will look for a solution. When you're super positive and you know you can do it, and you'll have the will to do it.
Thank you so much for that. I think that's a really great advice. Thank you so much, Jyotna, for coming and sharing so much with us. It has definitely given us food for thought. To all the listeners out there, we'll be linking Jyotna's socials in the description below. Do reach out to her in case of any questions. Follow her and stay tuned for the 12th episode of Design Hat Podcast. A new story gets us new lessons. Goodbye, you all.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.